Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to a pre-Labor Day week-ending edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and before this long weekend hits, this is a good opportunity for you to get your questions in and allow Bob Christopher to address them through the Word of God. So give us a call, friends, at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada toll-free, 844-322-2742. Got a Bible question or an issue you're dealing with? This is your opportunity right now. So call 844-322-2742 and speak directly with us at Basic Gospel, because it is Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Indeed, it is Basic Gospel, and certainly glad to be with you again today as you tune in for hopefully spiritual encouragement, yeah, growing in grace, those sort of things. And that's what this broadcast is all about, to help you grow in the grace of God and in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great verse today that I wanted to share out of 1 Corinthians 15. I mentioned it yesterday on yesterday's broadcast, but is this, 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and by his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believe." So Paul, throughout the letters of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd, he is defending his apostleship. He's defending his ministry. There were a lot of people that brought that into question. Why? Because he didn't speak with the eloquence of some of the other people that came through. He didn't have the persuasion that they did. And Paul was very, I guess, intentional about that. He wanted their faith to be in the power of God, not on his persuasive powers or abilities or any of those things. So he was very intentional in how he delivered the word of God to the people there in Corinth. And to defend his apostleship, to defend his ministry, he gives these words in 1 Corinthians 15. "So by the grace of God, I am what I am." So his identity, his ministry, everything about Paul from the moment he met Jesus until the time he went to be with Jesus, absent from the body and present with the Lord, all of that, his new identity was given to him by the grace of God. So he was what he was because of the grace of God. That's the same for you and me. We are who we are because of the grace of God. So there was a point in time when we were sinners and we were identified by sin and death, by condemnation, those sort of things. Not a great identity, not a good self-image for any of us back in those days. But then we met Jesus and something happened. The grace of God changed us and gave us a new identity. So we are children of God. So we can say the same thing that Paul says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain." He didn't deliver the grace of God in an ineffective or futile way. No, it meant something to us. It changed us from the inside out. And then he says, "On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them." So Paul's ministry, I mean, he worked hard at his ministry. This was important stuff for him. This was important work. So he didn't take it lightly. He gave it his best. But then he says, "It wasn't I, but the grace of God that is with me." So the grace of God is what motivated Paul. The grace of God is what empowered Paul. The grace of God is what was with Paul. So we've been talking about all month this idea of being close to God. How do we become close to God? Well, here Paul gives us insight. Paul gives us the answer. We become close to God when we respond to the grace of God,
right,
and allow the grace of God to do its work in and through us. We become close to God at that moment in time. This gospel of Jesus Christ draws us near. We respond through faith. We are made new. Jesus Christ comes to live with us and in us, and he is with us, empowering us every step of the way. That's what Paul is saying. So it starts with identity. The grace of God changes us from the inside out, sets us apart, gives us a brand new identity. And then the grace of God that is with us 24/7, 365, empowers us to live as children of God and to carry out the work that God has laid out before us and beforehand. So we simply walk in those works that he has put before us. That's exactly what Paul did. That's exactly our life as children of God.
Absolutely. Good stuff, Bob. Thank you. As we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway, thank you for being with us, everybody. And we have the open lines at 844-322-2742. If you'd like to come in and be a part of this edition, why, we would welcome your call right now. 844-322-2742, both in the U.S. and in Canada. And friends, you're invited to come to Lewisville, Texas, mid-October, and take part in what's sure to be a memorable event. It's the United Bible Conference with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, October 15th through the 17th, and we want you to be there. Visit basicgospel.net/united for event information and registration, and come hear and see and meet two of the finest teachers of our time as they expound on the grace of God. Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, United. Again, the information and registration available at basicgospel.net/united. Again, basicgospel.net/united. Get registered, friends, and come and be with us. We want to see you, and if we hadn't met you yet, we want to meet you. That's coming up mid-October, the United Bible Conference with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm going to be there, and gosh, I hope you will be too. Once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742, available for you in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Bob, this call came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. My name is Ed. I just want to ask, because there are passages like Titus 2:13 and Romans 9:5, which can have a double translation in the English, which means like one translation, it could be said that Jesus is our great God and Savior, and the other one is could deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And the same with Romans 9 and 5, which translation could be the closest meaning to the passages like Titus 2:13, Romans 9:5, and also if I may add Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Thank you, bye, and God bless.
Well, Ed, thanks for your question. You are talking about a translation from the Jehovah Witnesses, and that translation is the New World Translation, and it's just dead wrong as far as these passages are concerned. Why? Because they do not believe that Jesus is God, and they will argue with you until the you know, birds come to roost or whatever.
The cows come
yeah,
home.
That's right. That too. They will argue with you tooth and nail that Jesus Christ is not God. Now, they couldn't use the regular translations, the normal English translations, and any translation of the Bible, from the King James Version to the English Standard Version to the New International Version to all the multiple versions that are out there are all consistent. They all proclaim that Jesus is God. And so these passages that you mentioned, Titus 2:13, it says, while we wait for the blessed appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's very clear from that translation that Paul considered Jesus to be both God and Savior. So Jesus Christ is God. In Romans 9, verse 5, what we see in all of the regular translations is that Jesus Christ is our God who descended from the Jews according to the flesh. So it says clearly that Jesus Christ is our God who is over all, who should be praised forever. And the same in the Hebrews passage. Well, since Jehovah Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is God, they have rewritten the Word of God. And they have come out with their own translation, and their own translation couches these verses in such a way where it makes a distinction between Jesus as simply our Savior and God the Father. They are not one in essence and being, as the Word of God clearly declares. So you are asking about the New World Translation, and I would say run away from it. It is not truth. The Word of God is God's testimony concerning His Son. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Being the Son of God makes Him both in essence and nature equal with God the Father, and we see that declared throughout the Word of God. Another passage that they really mess up is John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what the original language says. They've changed it to read this, that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a little g God, not co-equal with God the Father, but something other than God the Father. Well, they've rewritten it to fit with their theology being that Jesus Christ is not God, that Jesus Christ is not co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Ed, good to hear from you. Hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to drop us a line or give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Well, friends, we would love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. And Bob, we had this question from Stuart, who wrote to us from Edmonton, Alberta. Says, I'm now 58. A friend brought me to Jesus when I was 17, and that seemed to be when all the trouble started. I tried to follow him as best I could. I got married, have two kids, and now seven grandkids. I'm the only one in my family who actually believes in Jesus and God. My father just recently passed away. My brother took his own life in 2013. My mother is a Catholic who thinks Mary ascended into heaven and is interceding for us. My wife believes there is something but does not want to talk about it. I'm holding on by a thread. I'm a journeyman welder who is now a part-time general maintenance guy because of the pandemic. All I have is what I believe. I feel I have zero people to talk to.
Well, my heart just goes out to you. There's nothing worse than feeling isolated, feeling alone, but you're not alone in that. There are many people that feel that way. We even have examples of that in the Word of God. Way back in the Old Testament, we see that I'm the only one, Lord. And
right.
Lord says, no, you're not, and gives him a vision of 7,000 others who would not bow the knee to Baal. So we have to realize that in our situations, we may feel isolated and alone, but that's not the case. And I would just lift up this need for fellowship, for like-minded fellowship to the Lord, and ask him to open up some avenues for you so that you can have people that you can talk with and share your life in Christ with. So if you're a journeyman welder and you're doing some maintenance wherever that might be, maybe there are other Christians right there where you work that you might be able to talk to. But God knows your need. God knows your need for fellowship, your need for encouragement, your need for connecting with other believers. So lift that up to him and watch him open some doors for you to connect with people. Also, I don't know if you're involved in a church. Certainly find a grace-believing church in your area and get connected that way. And then as far as your family is concerned, you know, maybe sit down and say, can we read the Bible together? And just pick, you know, the book of John maybe, and just go through the book of John and just let the Word of God speak to them. Hopefully they would be open to that. You're not trying to cram your belief system down their throat. You're not trying to change them. You're just simply saying, hey, if you're interested, let's all gather together as a family and open up the Bible, the Word of God, and let's see what the Bible has to say. And let's start with the book of John and just read through the book of John and let the word speak. I think of my friend and our friend Larry Taunton, Bob, and his friendship with famed atheist Christopher Hitchens.
Yeah.
So they were in debates about the existence of God. They were opposite ends of the spectrum, but they developed a friendship, and they had conversation one with another. And Larry tells the story in a book he wrote entitled The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, about a road trip they took from, I think, the Virginia area down to Alabama. And on that road trip, Larry's driving, Christopher Hitchens is in the passenger seat, and Larry says, here's a Bible, open up to the Gospel of John and read it. And so Christopher read it out loud, and when he got to the end of chapter 1, he closed that Bible, and he looked over at Larry and said, I didn't know it said this.
Yeah.
And that's... I think the response of most people, they may have all kinds of doubts and concerns, and they may be skeptical of the Word of God, but I guarantee you they've never really read the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because when you read it and see the intent of God's heart toward man, you see that this really is a love letter from God to us. So if you can say, hey, let's just read the Word of God, I think they will come away saying, I didn't know the Bible said that. I didn't know God said that he loved us. So check that out and see if they would be open to doing that.
Indeed. Well, Stuart, thanks for reaching out, and good to hear from you. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. And friends, remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ is free, and it's available to all, but getting it on the air, it's sometimes kind of a difficult process when you have to deal with radio stations who already have blocks of time delegated to other ministries, and there's just a lot of things that go on to get a program on the air. But one of the primary things, of course, is the financing. But it's only because of you that others literally around the world might hear, believe, and live in the good news, the love and grace and life of the Lord Jesus. So we encourage you, as you can, to drop by Basic Gospel. Do that as soon as you can and make a donation to help Basic Gospel keep the good news coming on the air. And when you make that happen, be sure to click your choice of the DVD, the USB thumb drive, or the digital download of your copy of Clean and Close, the new series by Andrew Farley. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of support for the message of grace on Basic Gospel. Again, you can make that gift anytime at basicgospel.net. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this question from John in Burbank. Says, please help me understand, help me with Matthew 16:28. My son, he says, is struggling with it, and I'm inadequate to explain it. Thank you very much.
Well, John, here's what that passage says. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, I think the next chapter is really the fulfillment of that, is the answer to that particular passage. And it says, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to him Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking with them. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So who is the kingdom of God? Well, it is Jesus Christ himself. And God was giving his word to the disciples that Jesus Christ is the one that had been promised. He has come. Listen to him. And when you listen to him, you're going to be transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. So this transfiguration was a very present fulfillment of that particular passage. And then when Jesus is crucified, He's dead, he's buried, but on that third day, he is raised back to life. The king has come to take up his throne as the rightful one and operate his kingdom in the hearts of people who receive him.
Yeah, I love that passage, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, and Peter there. Peter is talking as always, and
that's right.
And the voice comes from heaven saying, "Listen, this is my beloved son. Listen to him, Dodo."
Well, you know, you have these awkward silences, and then you figured, well, if nobody else is going to talk, I've got to say something,
right? And to think the God of the universe would have that kind of patience with a guy.
Yes,
it's just fun to consider that.
Absolutely.
Well, we have this question from Alfred. He says, "Are believers still expected to observe and honor the Lord with first fruit offerings today?"
Well, Alfred, that's Old Testament. That's in the law, and we're not under the law. We're in a new covenant, and so we are encouraged to excel in the grace of giving, and that means allowing the Spirit of God to move us to give in accordance to what we have, to give cheerfully, to give generously, to meet the needs of others around us, to support the proclamation of the gospel. That's what we're called to do and to express as believers in Christ. So, no, we're not expected to observe and honor those feasts of old with first fruit offerings or any of those things. I will say one of the things that Paul mentions, I think in 1 Corinthians 16, you know, Paul had to be supported in his work. Oftentimes, he chose not to take support from various church groups, and he chose to make tents and to sell those tents and allow the proceeds from those sales to be the money that financed his ministry, that financed his missionary endeavors. But as he is trying to raise some money to help the believers in Jerusalem, he says to them in 1 Corinthians 16 to give first. So oftentimes there are people out there who want to give, who would love to give, and they have this type of attitude. At the end of the month, if I have any money left over, I will send it to Basic Gospel, or I'll give it to my church, or I will support, you know, some neighbors in my neighborhood who are in need. But it's always at the end. And normally when you get to the end, you don't have anything left over. Yeah. You have more month than you do money. So Paul recognized that and said, put aside first for your giving, and then let everything else follow. And I know when you do that, it seems like you have more than enough, not only to give and support the things that you want to do, but also to meet your own needs and even have some left over.
Absolutely. Great answer, Bob. And Alfred, thank you for your question. Well, that's it for another week on Basic Gospel, everybody. Remember, it's because of you that we are here every weekday bringing you the good news of the gospel of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your help is vital, of course, to ensure that this message remains on the air and online, so we encourage you to donate at basicgospel.net. And when you do, request your copy of Andrew Farley's teaching series, Clean and Close. It's our way, as I said, of saying thank you for your gift of support for Basic Gospel. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Now, over this long Labor Day weekend, if you have questions about a Bible passage or about the Christian life in general, leave a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it next week on the Basic Gospel program. Again, the number, 844-322-2742. Also, you are invited to join Bob Christopher online for Sunday Morning Live every Sunday morning at 9:30 Central. Easily join Bob by clicking either Facebook or YouTube at the very top of our homepage. That's basicgospel.net. And again, it's Sunday Morning Live, online, 9:30 Central, with Bob Christopher. I know he would love for you to join him. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us next week again for Basic Gospel and wishing you a blessed and safe Labor Day holiday weekend in and because of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.